I am. people will know that they are truly friends in the rest of the world. So this is another version. I will sing it first, and then we follow.
I am dwelling, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here, and sincerely, I know that the Lord is going to do great things amidst us today, in the name of Jesus. Sincerely, the body that is in my heart, I don't know how to dispense it, but I'm just trusting on the Holy Spirit to just help me to. And God, true to His word, when our brother Daniel came up to just exhort us and lead us in prayer, has just paved the way. And we'll see how the Holy Spirit help us. Amen. Amen. Before we go into the body of today, let's just see something. In Matthew chapter 13. Hallelujah. From verse 10, we are going to read verse 10 and 11. And we are going to read it together. Matthew 13, from verse 10 to 11. If we are there, let's read. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. We are reading to them. Amen. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Let's put it in another word. It is bestowed upon you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Okay, let's put it in a more spiritual way. You have been furnished to know the mysteries of the kingdom. From this place, you see the disciples. After Christ has spoken to the people and to the multitude, and after relating the parables of the great sower, the disciples came and asked Christ, and said, every time you speak to multitude of people, you speak in parables. Why? But Christ replied and said, you people, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Say, it has been given unto me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, when we talk about the mysteries of the kingdom, mysteries of the kingdom is not one beast that is in Pacific Ocean that has never seen the surface of the earth before. That is not the mysteries of the kingdom. It's not people discovering one cave that has something. That's not the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries of the kingdom is all about Christ. Amen. Amen. The mysteries of the kingdom, the mysteries of heaven, is all about Christ. Everything that has been discovered in this world is just the mysteries of this earth. And everything has never been discovered. But the mysteries of the kingdom, it has been given to a group of people, a set of people. It has been given unto children to know. And when I say Christ is the mystery of the kingdom, everything we talk about relating to the kingdom is all pointing to Christ. And Christ himself came. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ did not only say, I am the way. He said it. He also walked in that way. That sons that will follow after will be able to walk that way and get insight into what the mysteries of the kingdom entails. Paul, after his ministry, is still on guard for this mystery. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
That I may know him there is that I may know the mysteries of this kingdom.
I've not gotten enough. I need to know him more.
Glory to God.
1 John 1:1. Brethren, please just try and let us follow the lead of the Spirit as the Spirit just leads us in the message of today, so that we can grab something. Amen.
Amen.
He said that which was from the beginning, which we have had, number one, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. What is the word of life? Or who is the word of life?
Jesus.
That which we have had. We are talking about the prophecies great men of old talked about. That which we have seen when he was born and he lived with them. That we have looked upon. They spent most of their lives with him. And then our hands have handled. We've touched the mystery of the kingdom. The word of life. Permit me to just change your mindset a bit. There's one disciple, anytime we talk about doubt, is the one that we used to make mention of. Who is that?
Thomas.
What do I tell you? Thomas did not doubt. Let me explain. If Thomas, had doubted, sincerely I believe he would have been the one to betray Jesus. You know what doubt does? It changes you. You move out of the pack. Thomas did not move out of the pack. You know what? He asked, unless I see him. When Christ told them that it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, he accepted. And in subsequent time, the Lord will have spoken to them, saying, in Jerusalem they will flog you for my sake. In fact, you will even die for my sake. For this gospel, they will hate you, they will persecute you. All those things registered in the heart of Thomas. And I believe Thomas think and said, okay, this thing that I'm going to die for, let me see it first. He was looking for an evidence. And when the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself unto Thomas and appeared unto him, and after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Thomas went to India and never came back. Because he got what he was looking for. He got the evidence. He understood that. He had to understand that, oh, okay, this is the mystery of the kingdom. India, let's go. And he died there. The last time we heard about Thomas is that he died as a martyr. That's because he got the kingdom. He got the mysteries. He got insight into it. Christ has been speaking the mystery of the kingdom. You will know it. You will do this. And that is what Thomas was looking for. That is what he was searching for. He said, let me see it first. Let me see what I'm going to die for. If I see it, no problem. And he saw it. He received the Holy Ghost. Straight to India. And then, Thomas did not come back to India. Where Paul, Peter was being healed. Thomas ran. Went to India. And proclaimed the mysteries. Amen. The mysteries of the kingdom is for children. When our brother was talking about we calling God Father, related to him as a father, I believe that is the mind of God for this moment. Because the Lord is ready to unveil mysteries of the kingdom. Why? Why does he want to unveil these mysteries of the kingdom? The Lord wants a people to begin to walk in the kingdom dimension. Just as Christ walked in that pattern, Christ was one that was calling God Father. My Father and I. I and my Father. I will speak to my Father. Father, let your name be glorified. That was the way Christ was showing us. And when he left, the Lord said, sons, arise. I'm going to still show you these mysteries of the kingdom. But I have a pattern son that has gone through it. So just follow him all the way. And so in our pursuit of Christ, let's have it at the back of our mind that the Lord is unveiling the mysteries of his kingdom unto us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, why is that it's given to some people? 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 1. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians. I believe the Holy Spirit is just laying a foundation for us. Chapter 1, from verse 18. He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is what? Power of God." To that, to those people that perish, the devil is among them. Let me give you a scripture. Just go to the chapter 2, where it says, in verse 8, he said, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." That's devil is the prince of this world. And so he himself he doesn't know the mysteries of the kingdom. He doesn't understand it. If he had known, he would not allow the crucifixion. So he said, "To them that perish, the gospel of the cross, the mysteries of the kingdom is what? Is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Therefore it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring nothing to the understanding of the prudent." Say, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? When we look at verse 23, he said, "But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." That's the mystery of the kingdom. The mysteries of heaven. To those who are called children, to those who have the Spirit of God inside of them, to those who are living and are following Christ accordingly, is wisdom. But to people who are blinded, who cannot see, is what they call it, is foolish. You know, just look at it just normally, logically. How can you say they've not created this earth and one person, a lamb, as they sleep? I don't understand. I can't even get what you're trying to say. Except from the foundation of the world. It has been saying what? From the foundation. That means even before the earth was being created, he has been slain. How can a man say because he loved the old world and then give his son and say, "Kill him because I want to save you"? Imagine my dad just carrying him because he wants to save some people. And then he says, "Take him to the prison, let him." I myself was saying, "Baba, are you what's going on? I've not done anything. I don't even know these people from Adam. And you want to leave me so you can save them." When you look at it, it doesn't make sense. That's why it's called the mystery of the kingdom. And only those who are children, he said, to become great in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be as this little child. One place in Psalm 24, he says, "Who shall ascend into the hills of God?" That is of God is who shall come into the understanding of the mystery of the kingdom. And then he said it. Give me Psalm 24. It says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor swore deceitfully." These attributes are attributes of children. It's a little baby that has an innocent heart. He's not thinking evil about anybody. If you give a child this kid now, he will tell you, "Give me this," he will say, "No, I'm not," and that's it. But if that same time, it's okay, if you give me this receipt, I will ban it now for you. I'm saying, okay. Because it's innocent in that. It doesn't have anything against you. To understand the mysteries of the kingdom, this attribute has to be there. That's why Jesus spoke to the disciples. He said, "Let the children come to me." And he gave them what it means. Anyone who wants to be great in the kingdom must be as a servant. It's only children that they used to send anyway. When I remember when I was still very young, I was the smallest in the house. Anybody is me. Come and buy this. Come and buy that. Come and buy that. I was just doing servant for everyone. Because I'm a child. I am just innocent. They have all the authority over me. The mysteries of the kingdom is given to those who will act as children, who is too close. In Jeremiah 33, he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What are the great and mighty things? The mysteries of the kingdom. Those are the great and mighty things which no one has known. Our brother read, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, "But it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither has it have entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." What are the things that God has prepared for those who love God? They are things of the kingdom. Because, brethren, the time we are now, the Lord is expecting sons to arise. The Father is calling up on sons. He's saying, "Sons, arise. It's time for me to unveil unto you what the kingdom is all about, so that you can walk in this dimension of the kingdom. You can begin to operate in this dimension. And God will not stop until everyone has been formed, has conformed into the image and pattern of Christ Jesus." He told the angels, he said, "Ask not the heart until we have what? Sealed the forehead of the elect of God." Sealing the forehead of the elect is "Ask not the heart until the elect of God have gotten and have entered into the understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom. Until they have started living in that dimension, in that pattern." Hold it. Don't hurt anything. Just hold your peace. The mysteries of the kingdom, it is given unto you. We have been chosen to know the mysteries of the kingdom, because it is the power of God. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. When and how do we come into this mystery, this knowledge, this light? Job, 12:22, it says, he reveals mysteries in darkness. And then he said, deep darkness, it brings into light. That's another translation, but I think the King James says it in another way. How do we come into this knowledge and into these mysteries of the kingdom? We say, "This is why I've been crying, mysteries of the kingdom." How do we do it? The Lord has given you something inside of you to do what? To help you and to enter into these mysteries. And that will lead me to what I have for us today. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. We are going to see a story, and from there, this is a very, very short message, but I believe the Lord will make it clear and open to us. Amen. So if we want to give this whole thing a title, I'll call it Borrow Not a Few. Amen. So someone should just help us with that story. 2 Kings chapter 4. So the person will read from verse 1 till 7. Perfect number.
Now therefore, the certain man of the wife of the servant of the prophet comes to the man and said, thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did good to the boy, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be one man. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save the pot of oil. Then he said, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is good. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of the oil, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This story is about a woman which she's one of the wives of the sons of the prophet. We know the sons of the prophet now. And then the husband died. And this woman's life was, to us, her life was just, has just ended. And fortunately for her, Elisha was passing. And then she ran to Elijah and cried and said, prophet, you know your colleague, which I'm saying, Carcass, died and he left nothing for me and my children. And now the debtors, the creditors, that we borrowed money from, they are threatening me and saying they will take my children away and then they will use them as slaves so that I can pay the money. But I don't want that to happen. And Elijah looked at her and said, okay, what do you have in your house? Elijah knew that the son of the prophet cannot just die like that and not leave anything for the family. Because they are not trained to be that way. They are trained to have solutions to every problem. Elijah, when the axe fell into the river, there was a solution. Quickly, he brought, that's the way Elijah trained them. If there's any problem, don't say you don't have a solution to it. That's why they call you sons of the prophet. You should have a solution to everything. When they were eating poison or something like that, Elijah had solutions to it. Different circumstances, Elisha had solution to it. That was the training of the sons of the prophet. So when the woman was saying he died and there was nothing in the house, Elisha was surprised. He said, a woman, are you sure you don't have anything in the house? He said, we don't have anything. Are you sure? Oh, we have a pot of oil. I said, I have something now. The son of the prophet cannot just die and not leave anything. There must be something in the house. Amen. Mm-hmm. So he said, you have a pot of oil. Hallelujah. No problem. You know what you are going to do? Go out. Go to your neighbors. Go to your friends, family. Go to your foes, enemies. Anybody. Borrow vessels. Borrow enough pots. Enough. And do what? That pot of oil, that small pot of oil that you have, begin to pour that oil into all the vessels. But there was an instruction. He said, when thou art coming, what do? You shut the door. This one is not, don't do it in the open. This is a secret affair. Shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, you and your family. Shut the door. Who followed there? If anybody knows, don't answer. And then she did as the prophet has instructed her. And then they began pouring this oil. They poured. They were pouring. They were pouring oil. The oil did not finish. This pot of oil. Okay, let's keep pouring. They poured, 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 poured until all the vessels were filled. And they said, "Do you have any more vessels?" The children said, "Mommy, we don't have again." Say, "Okay, let's go and tell the prophet." And then they went to the prophet and said, "We are done. All the vessels we could borrow. We've poured the oil there." And the prophet said, "Okay, good. So those oils, sell it. The one you need, keep it. The one you want to give out, give it out. Sell it, but pay your creditors so that your seed will not become as slaves to the in the hands of the creditors." Amen. Brethren, this story is not just a story. It has a spiritual dimension to it. It has a message from the Spirit in this story. That's why it ended in 7. This is a story of our life. Amen. The disciples also experienced a little bit of this story. When Christ died, let's go out fishing. There's no Christ. Let me go and look. Before I die, I wonder. Christ has been one. When we pray, we just put it up on the flag. But Christ has gone now. All my debts are coming back. People who have been running from, they are now looking for me. I will go and fish so that I will sell the fish and then get money. But thanks be to God, Christ appeared unto them again. And said, "Look at you. Have I not told you I will send the comforter to you?" And even this comforter, you have a deposit inside of you. Why are you going to waste this fishing? And Christ told them, "Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait until the Holy Spirit is poured upon you." The disciples had the pot of oil with them, but they did not see it. They could not recognize it. They did not understand. It's not the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit just came upon. They had a portion of it inside of them, waiting. A small portion, but you know, Uncle used to give us a description. He would say, "The Holy Spirit inside of you is using a step down transformer because the power is enormous. It's too big. If you just land upon it like that, you may explode. But God puts a step down transformer. Just put it small there. Say, let me put this one there and let him walk in that dimension." But the Lord needs us to do one thing. He needs us to expand our capacity. So this woman had a pot of oil, but she did not understand that this pot of oil, well, number one, my husband is among the source of the prophet. I should even get a little bit of anointing. Is he already a prophet? I mean, at least his family too will get some anointing. And the woman will just go to the pot of oil and say, "You pot of oil, I will pour you your vessels," and then he will. But she did not have the understanding. Until Elisha came and told her, "Madam, you have something inside of you, and you know, you have the pot of oil. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. It may be small, but that's why the Lord wants you to enlarge, increase the capacity. The Lord wants us to not limit ourselves to what we have." Yeah. "Okay, I can. When I dream is to come true. That's enough." No! You have to leave gym and see open vision. Hallelujah! Yeah. Oh, I can speak in tongues. And I can speak in some other. That's me. Speak and let something happen. That's what the Lord wants. "Oh, I will pray for you and you believe." That is not enough. Those are just part of the small parts. They are bigger dimensions. Vessels! And the Lord wants us to increase. So, there's one thing I want us to take note here. If we don't increase the vessel, the Lord will act with us as we are.
according to the word, according to what we are given of you. When he said, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, that is not just that the Lord is expecting a big capacity. Say, Lord, anything you want to call, call it. Let the Holy Spirit inside of you, let it expand. Let it expand. And let me be able to walk in that dimension of the kingdom that you want me to be. So this woman had the thought of oil, but she did not know what to do with it until Elisha, the prophet, came and told her, you know what? I've given you brothers. I've given you brethren. Go to them and borrow vessels from them. Iron sharpened iron. Rub upon them. Relate with them. Borrow vessels and start pouring those oil in it. And we can see that capacity increase. From the top of oil, the Bible did not give us the specific amount, but I know the oil is a plenty ground. That you have to look kinds of furniture outside. Let's do this furniture outside. Our capacity needs to be increased. When Christ told them, go and wait in the upper room, for those period of days, they were rubbing on each other, relating to one another, they speak to one another, reminding themselves of what Christ has said, encouraging one another, and in so doing, they were increasing capacity. They were increasing. They could not see it physically, but they were increasing. But on the day, when God said, yes, this is what I'm looking for. The Holy Spirit unleashed. Hallelujah. And the disciples began to walk in dimensions. Jesus. They began to walk in the way of the kingdom. Who taught them to sell all their possessions and bring it and share it among themselves? That they shared it in such a way that no person lacked anything. Who taught them? Who taught them that when you minister, you can just speak and then something will happen? These people forgot. They did not know. They saw Jesus doing it, but he didn't register. And they began to walk in different dimensions. So we're going to look at this story systematically, and then we'll see what the Lord will have for us there. Amen.
Amen.
So as I was explaining, Elisha asked, he said, what shall I do for thee? Now the Father is asking us, what do you want me to do for you? Our brother has told us we need to relate to that father. What do you want me to do for you, son? Daughter, what do you want me to do for you? And then, he said, tell me, what hast thou in the house? You have something, you don't know that. When God comes to us and says, what do you want me to do for you? Sincerely, if we just tell him anything, he's going to do it. You know what? He has promised. He said, the call upon our answer. He said, ask, it shall be given unto you. He has given us every necessary platform to come to him freely and ask. He said, look at the birds of the air. The plants and everything, how do they feed? No one knows how they feed. But God provides them. How much more you? How much more me? That God will ask something and then will turn his back and say, go and see that. No. When the woman cried to Elisha, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? What do you have in your house? And then she said, thy handmaid had not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. you will cry unto God, say, Lord, I'm tired of this problem. Ah, you see, why is the Christian life, the Christian journey so hard like this? God, what kind of problem is this? When I was in the world, said things were not hard as hard as this one. Why is that when I came to Christ, God is telling you, you have a part of my inside. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Oh God, when you might change God, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. But there's something you need to do. There's something that is required of you. That part is not lying there, waiting. You know, just a recent, our daddy was just giving to us some analogy about the Holy Spirit. Say, we just be looking at him. The day you invite him, he will do what he wants to do. And the day he say, Holy Spirit, go and sit down. He will go. Go and sit down. He doesn't force. But people that want to have insight into the mystery of the kingdom, we don't do the Holy Spirit and say, go and sit down, come. No. You will take hold of it. And say, Holy Spirit, take hold of it. Instead of the Holy Spirit to do gentle, you should do gentle. And let the Holy Spirit overwhelm you. And let it take over. So, like that, Elisha told the woman, go and borrow vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. The Bible says, as we are present, it is that brethren should dwell together in unity. Brethren, I tell you, there is power in fellowshipping together with your brethren. Just as we are seated here, there is a ring of connection between every one of us. A line is just connected. And there are transference of power and might from heaven above. Just seated here. So when they say fellowship together, it's not that people are lonely and they are looking for somebody to come and keep them company. No, it's not keeping company. We are expanding. We are increasing capacity. That's what we are doing. John, the beloved, that guy, the Bible says we sit at the bosom of Jesus. And we are on his chest, upon his chest. It was not, I know some of the disciples will be telling, what's wrong with this one? If you really want, please come on, come, please. Or when they settle down and he goes there, he says, let me go. He's going again. But he was doing that and he was increasing capacity. So when it was time for God to reveal some great and mighty things, the revelation is from the beginning to the end. God looked and looked and looked. He didn't say, but he saw John. He said, your capacity is more than those of Peter and Mary. And he listened to the revelation. Why? He was staying with Jesus, fellowshipping with him. As Jesus was speaking, the first announcement that is coming out from Jesus is the first one upon John before he reached anybody else. And his capacity was increasing. He was increasing. But he was gentle. John the beloved. Very silent. You know, nobody knows anything about it. But the day revelation hit him. This guy, they threw this guy into hot oil. Hot oil. See my hand. It's oil that burns me. Oil. Hot oil. He entered there, he came out. Nothing happened to him. Nothing happened. Capacity has been increased. God said this one. And then the people, they thought they were doing well. They said, let's banish this guy, thank you. And then they banish him to God. They banish him, say, go away. God said, yeah, come. I need you. And God eat him. He's like, I'm okay. Eat him with revelation. And that's what I mean to him. Imagine if John has just withdraw. God will have been still revealing, but we don't know who is going to be. But this guy fellowship. So there's power in fellowship. Brethren, right now, it's just ordinary handshake after the service. Brother, God bless you. It's something. So if you are greeting, don't greet anybody casually. I say, oh, Daniel, I don't greet him now. He said, I do not greet him. Let me go and greet him. Daniel, how are you doing? Don't do that. Just say, brother, the Lord bless you after the service. In something. Capacity is increasing. When it says, a little here, a little there. Borrow vessels from brethren. There's one brother here, when he speaks, I don't like to stay and be listening. Because it brings on words that you have to clean your ear very well. But I just said, I know this guy, you have to learn from him. And then I will just listen and say, God, which kind of dimension is this one? But I want to increase capacity. I don't want to limit myself. Brethren, we should not limit ourselves. There are greater dimensions which no man has ever walked before. No man has ever walked. And the Lord is waiting. Who is going to walk in this dimension? Who is going to walk in this dimension? But we're all still sitting down. Say, this one is enough. At least I can give word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is not enough. It's small. It's too small. It's too small to what God has ordained for us. When they talk about the manifestation of the sons of God, it's not you wake up one day and then you go to Victoria Hospital and there's more to that. There's more to that. My brother, he said something. He's a token. He's a token, thank you. It's small. That's among all the parts of work. Yes, capacity needs to be increased. So that's why we don't do that. The reason why God is not moving amidst us is because we are the one tying our hands and sitting down, saying, this one is enough. This one is enough. If I give only one of you, I should shake and be at peace. I'm operating. We are not the ending there. We are not even starting the starting line. That's it, God will give us. God will help us. Our capacity needs to be increased. Elijah could go abroad, not go to the next city, abroad. And some woman would have walked all over the. What's the name? We don't know the name. Okay, maybe Israel. All over Israel. And said, you have vessel. Any size, just give me. Any size of vessel, just give me. And then she collected, and capacity was increased. When they say listen to messages, you are not just listening to people's messages and just listening for listening's sake. We are listening to increase capacity. Amen. But we should be careful of the messages we listen to. We should learn to see and to discern. When we start hearing and we see that this one is, please run away, that's a very bad way to open. It's not a vessel that will increase our capacity. But they are the new men of God that God has placed down. I'm going to share a revelation with you in this same story. You'll soon get it. Men of God that God has just placed to just help people like us that come. Generation cannot just keep going in the same realm and no other generation can go above that. No, you can't do like that. I think it's even lower than the previous generation. In the 1980s and 40s, when we hear about Babalola and all those people, those things were mighty things. Now, I can't even point to one and say, okay, from which this generation, what are they doing? But there needs to be a generation that will rise up and say, look, God, this one I'm giving, I'm not satisfied with. I want to explode. Increase my capacity. That step down, transformer. Leave to put the step up. Let it step up. Peter moved in such a way that he got to a point. Shadow. Shadow that the sun is reflecting. He didn't people. He didn't tell them. It's just shadow. But there's more to that. Christ said, greater work than this you are going to do.
Amen.
Greater work than what Christ. When I read that scripture, I used to wonder, Jesus, Savior, that died for me, that brought me to this into this stage, into this place. He said, greater work than you are going to do. And then look at me, still running about, one day everywhere, still. Falling and rising every day. discipline. Time is over. We need to arise. Amen. We need to arise and shine.
Ha! Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few.
Don't limit yourself to the capacity. We should not limit ourselves. I'm not going to limit myself. I'm not going to limit myself.
Yeah, I may be speaking some things that, you go like, that one's
not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough.
Borrow not a few. There are different ways our capacity can be increased.
Different ways the Lord will increase our capacity. All we need to do is to avail ourselves and tell God, Lord, imagine that woman and she can say, how do you expect us to run out of land? And say, look, thank you, Prophet, we'll do as I told you, and the Prophet will leave it. They will be so suffer in slave trade. They will sell the two sons from one place to another. The woman herself will suffer. She will die of hunger. Because that prayer was close to family. And you look at her, I have only part of one. We need to avail ourselves, release ourselves.
Something has been given to us today. Say, God is our Father.
Let's speak to the Father. I remember. No. I remember when I was just, I was about to go in Nigeria, I was about to go to the university then. And my dad used to give me some Pokemon every week, just put some YouTube channel in my account. So when I was about to go to that, I went to him and said, this one, you know, it's the best I'm doing, can't be enough, you have to increase it because, you know, I was listening to everything. He was just looking at me, he said, no, I didn't know before he came. Don't worry, just pack the bag, go. And I was waiting, first week. Let me see what this one will drop in my face. And when he dropped the money, I'm still of what I've been seeing. I said, I don't want to say, daddy, let me go. I saw this thing. And that is it. How much more God? We go to God and say, God, you said I will do great and mighty things. That great and mighty things you want to show me. To increase my capacity to receive. And let me to walk and operate in that direction. Even sometimes when I've collected money, they send money to the account, I will use money for some things that are not worthy. I'll see what I say, I need money. You say, I don't say no. I said, I do money, I need money. You still send it. Because it's my Father. How much more God? God that will came out of his money. Okay, yes, God created Adam, used earth to make him. But which life did God put? His life. The Bible says God dwelt upon Adam and became a living. The life of God was dwelling inside of Adam. How much more us that are born of the Spirit? And then we sit down and say, it's okay. Children can sing to the Spirit. Let him be sing for us. Let him be sing for us. And then we sit down there. No. Children are doing it, so do your own. God is going to be in the same body. If there is need for me to learn from Chidi, I'll go to him. Chido, what do you say about this thing? I need something. I need to grant something. That's what the Lord is expecting. That's why he called us brethren. Brother, do you think Jesus did not learn anything from his disciples? Have you ever thought that Christ is to grant him? No. Christ, the Bible may not have recorded it, but I'm sure he learned something from his disciples. Because the day he chose them, after he came down from the mountain and he chose them, he no longer called them by whatever they are. He became a brother to them and started praying to them. When they called him and said, Jesus, your mother and your son that I'm looking for, he said, look, my brothers and mother, those who sit down and hear what I'm saying. And among those who sat down, his disciples. he began to call them brother. So if I'm calling you brother and sister, there should be more to just the superficial calling brother and sister. I need to get something from you. I need to get. You need to get from me. That's why we are knitted together. And then the Bible says that we don't break rank. We don't break rank. We are knitted together. We do something as if one brother comes, give you powerful words. You should not be angry and be annoyed and say, ah, look at this one coming to me. No. It's, God is just saying to increase your capacity. Brother, there are some things that people used to be here that before they did it, a problem. When they do it to me, it's a problem. But now, I don't see those things. We need to come to God, our Father, and tell Him, Father, increase my capacity.
Hi, and we're just starting now, sorry. And time is gone. You know, said, this and that way to increase capacity. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Shut the door.
This is talking about a secret place with God. The relationship with God to be a close one. With our brethren, we are relating together. We are borrowing. But with God, lock the door. Imagine this woman took all the pot outside
and filled it all over the street and began to pour oil. Somebody will wake up from sleep, smiling, and just look to you, ah, this woman is pouring oil.
Let me go and borrow, let me go and collect oil. And then he said, ah, madam, let me just ask you to say this. When the time is very ripe, he said, take it. And that man will come, will be walking with his chariot. Chariot, no chariot, that space. And he sees like 3 foot. He said, don't give me 3 foot, I will turn the vessel to you. And then carry the vessels. After this thing, before the woman pour, the vessel will finish and she will just be left with nothing. But let's just put that, don't give outside. Close the door. When you are relating with God, I want a more relationship to be closed door. Because the devil, the running man, moving around, is looking for who to devour. He's looking to steal those vessels and pots from you. Imagine that woman outside pouring the oil. You know there are thieves and robbers in Israel. There are thieves there. And then the Lord look, says, ah, hold this tractor, hold this tractor. She doesn't fire because she looks like this. They're taking a pot of oil. And then she doesn't know. That's what the devil does. Distract you. Keep you away from God. Because it's from God you receive food. It's point. The tap is open. And then it distracts you. By the time you look, God will have said something, you miss it. So our relationship with God should be closed. Let the door of our hearts be closed against everything. Imaginations, thoughts, high places that we set in our less comfortable. And let our relationship with God be a closed one. Tight one! Our brother was saying we should call God Father. Before there was a story my mom told me. He said there was this man of God that was praying and was asking God for something. He said, God, do this thing. God, do this thing. God, I need this. God, wait. One of the sons is speaking to me. He said, God, do it. So you have a son that is more superior than me at the time. He said, God told him, say, there's a son and there's a son. When I have one, when I shake off, I need to carry something with that. But those are men that have had a relationship with God. He was praying, God told him, wait, I'm attending to one of his sons. And this man will be boasting, say, my father. Father has said this, and he did it, and God will do it. The evidence is there. When he said, I will speak to my father about it. That's the truth. We will go and speak to God and the Father will give. But this day he prayed and said, Father, I need this in God. So wait, let me attend to this son first. He was sure. He said, Father, so there's a son. Even more greater. God told him, there's a son, there's a son. Ah! When I had that, I said, no, I've never got it. Maybe I'm still crawling. You know, when you go to kindergarten, I see babies crying. Up and down. That's it. I said, no, I have to even read that one too. That when I cry to God, God will attend and say, hey, my son, you are saying something. Jesus will speak and God will answer. He will speak to the Father. He said, Father, let your name be glorified. And he went, Lazarus, come forth immediately. He didn't say after 1 hour, like something happened recently. Say, we do not come out 1 hour, God has taken him. He said, no problem. He spoke, and then Lazarus came forth instantly. That's a relationship. The disciples just someone with a knife rubbing something. They pray. Ah, God, he died. That's happening. Until Jesus came and said, ah, he his disciples there. He said, this can't go not for by passing a prayer and just spoke to the prayer and now we've got him. That's the relationship with him. And I'm sure the disciples will look at him and say, ah, what manner of man is this? When he calmed the sea, he spoke to the storm and everything, they look like, what manner of man is this? That even the wind, the storm, they hearken to his voice. That's because Christ has, he has a source, he has a power source. The power source is the Father. He has the power source. That when he speaks instantly, let's connect back to our power source. Let's connect back to our power source. And let's leave it like that. Don't let us unplug. Because that's what the devil will do. We'll look around. So let me see. I'm going to just distract this guy. And then try everything. His words. His deception. And then, if you are not careful, what we need to increase, the capacity is even increased, people are stealing them now. There's a place in Song of Solomon, I can't remember. Is it 6? Where it says, I passed through the garden of the man, he stopped him on me. And then, if someone can help me with that. Is it Proverbs?
Yeah.
Wow, thank you. Did anybody find it? Okay, thank you. Yeah, he said, I went by the feet of the slothful and by the violence of the mind. Of a man void of understanding. That's what the devil does. Take away our understanding. Look at the example of the woman I was giving. Say, imagine the robbers. They take away our understanding. They start out by their robbers and raise false alarms. And then she runs there and then she falls over the ground. He said, no, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And covered the face thereof. And the stonework thereof was broken down. That's all what the devil does. He wants to break down. He wants to. I remember was talking about the garden. Say, Adam did not give up. It's if he attempted from the garden, the serpent will not creep in. And then they would have seen. But he has been living with them for over the months or whatever, how long it took before they fell. He has been living with them. And then they see him as the serpent. And it was going. But meanwhile, it was planting seeds, was planting thorns in the garden. Our garden should be for only us and God. And we need to tend it, tend our hearts, our everything. Let God be fully involved in whatever we do. That's our prayer. And so shall it be. In the name of Jesus. Back to 2 Kings. I don't know if you can go on, but I want us to leave 12 because of our brothers and sisters that still have exams. Back to the passage we are reading. He said, and when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels
and thou shalt set aside that which is food. So as God relates with us, as we fellowship with brethren, as we pray in secret places, in our secret place, we relate with God, the Lord is filling capacities. I had a man of God say, he said, people used to misunderstand the fivefold ministry. He said, the fivefold ministry is not that they say, I'm an evangelist, and then you carry bell and everything, and be running evangelist. He said, anyone that shoot out first is just there to pave way for every other ministry. You must have everything. It's not that you carry evangelist and go, only evangelist. You don't. Anything, you don't study the word, you don't know how to shepherd people, you don't know how to even give problems, only about them, give your life to God. You die there. He said, I have been running. He said, you have been running. If he's an evangelist, anyone that comes out first, know that others who are coming in, and then they need for you to increase in those things also. So as we relate with God and we fellowship together, you see, capacities, vessels that have been raised up inside of us, and God will be filling them. When I joined the fellowship, there's a limit to what I can do in terms of all this spiritual something. There's a limit to my praying or to my fasting or to reading of the word. There's a limit. I had a limit. If I have gotten that, I said that's the limit. But when I came and I met with people, I was challenged. I said, no. God, I have to come up to you. And then God used them mightily. But where I know not and where it is, I will run for 4 hours. And who will be firing me? Words of the scripture, reading the Bible, everything. And God, in his infinite mercies, I didn't even know how it happened. I was just doing my thing. Say, God, I will have to come out. And God just took me out. And I'm even seeking his face for more. And as I see graces growing up with people, I see people manifesting their sin. God, this one is wonderful. I need to relate with this brother. And they are not close to them. We start talking. And we start listening. I know what I'm looking for. He may not know, but I will just say, God, don't use this brother to let me be generation. In worship, there's a limit to worship that I can do. But whenever I go to Israel, I mean, I like songs. Whenever I stand up and I go to the back, I want to go and play songs. But I move close and I say, God, for 4 minutes to worship, I need to be worshiping you every day. So when I move close to Israel, and then we talk, it doesn't mean that I'm boring verses from him. Boring verses of worship. That's what we should do. And that's what God expects from us. So as we relate with him, the Lord is filling capacity. This one is true. Set aside. Pick another one up. When there are bad characters in us, God will remove those characters and replace it with vessels and then fill it. So we have to know what God is doing in our lives. There has to be this willing heart. We have to avail ourselves. The woman was ready to do anything. All the instructions is just a bit to her. She borrowed. It's not that she borrowed to a level and then it stopped. She couldn't get any vessel. But the Holy Spirit inside of us, the vessels we have, the cast of them, they are plenty. They are dimensions. God, for man to, for the whole creation of the world and everything to be in the order of a man's hand. You know it's dimension. And one is the hand, is still tending to another one, putting order in the heavens, sending angels. He's looking at the earth, doing this. That's a powerful multitasking that only people with great dimension can do. And then if you, billions of people in the world, crying, God, and he's looking. Okay, I hear you, do this. For those of us that work in all this 24/7 and what are you calling it? When people call, have you experienced a day where you just call every day? As you are talking on your phone, if you get to a point, you remove the phone and then put it in your hand and say, you want to take a break.
because calls are coming. But God is not taking a break.
Hallelujah.
We don't want to work with that dimension. God is not taking a break. The heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. I said, the inhabitants of the earth are his. And is it not surprising that God wants to just pour out his spirit upon man? Man. They are angels. Angels, I've not had the opportunity to see one angel and see open. But these creatures are big. What if they said four angels are holding the wings of the corners of the earth, or you have the Bible talking. Four corners of the earth. One angel holding the northern. You know how big the northern part of the earth is. Not northern part of Canada, of the earth. One angel holding four of them holding it. And say any instruction, if they say release the earth, you should drop it. But that's how big those creatures are. Big. Enormous. Christ said, if I needed to fight, just one. Legion. Legions already, that's what Christ said. But one, the only one enter Egypt and problems had. Only one. One. How much more legion? Yet to collapse. But God did not go to angels and say, okay, you are not the king to the king. Say Philip is you. What is Philip that God is mindful of him? What is man? So if God is showing all those things to us, then what are we doing sitting down? Maybe it's someone that they give the entrance to, we rise up to the challenge. If one man coming from you and I say, you beg me one time before I, but you don't know me. But because of that, I want to give you my conglomerate. Say, will I go back to my room and be sleeping? Now, Twitter, what's the name of your shopping mall? And buy suit and shirt and say, I'm not a CEO. You rise up to the challenge because that company was not collapsed. And that is when God is handing to us dimensions, mysteries of the kingdom, opening it to us. And want to take it, let it take it and then trade it. You can't trade it. I think we'll stop there for now and then we'll continue next week. I didn't plan to like carry it over, but the way the Lord has gone in our midst, we'll just rise up and then we'll begin to pray. Let's begin to bless God and appreciate Him for the way He has moved and missed us this morning. He has missed us in His presence.